kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
In the light will cost. To walk in the light will cost. The Lord has made it absolutely clear in our salvation, in the Word of God that we read, that there is a cost to being a disciple with Christ. It is a cost that costs us all. In other words, the cost is the giving up of your life, that surrendering up of your will, your life, your future, your hopes, your ambitions, your building in this life. The cost is to surrender it all, to give it all up for the life of God, to live his life in and through you while you still are pilgrims, sojourners in this life. That is what he asks. And to be honest with you, it's not really a big ask. When we look at what he has promised, what a future we have in Christ, it is just amazing. It is mind-blowing. And what we're giving up is really nothing in comparison to the great rewards that we are facing and will face. And he's even said that he will bless us in this life, which he does. It's the enemy that tries to hold us back. It's the enemy that tries to bring out all these lies. Well, God isn't faithful. He's not going to give you what you want. Look, it's taken you all these years and you're still believing, you're still overcoming, you're still enduring, and so on. Well, they are the lies. Because what is that in the light of eternity? That we have an eternal life with Christ, a future that the world cannot give. We need to draw our blessings from this. We need to draw our assurance, our peace from all these promises that God has given us in his word. And that's why I'm calling this teaching today, to walk in the light will cost. Now, it's interesting that we're now living in a time where we're seeing the great falling away in everything. We're seeing so much starting to be exposed and brought out into the light. And we know that all this global lockdown that we're finding ourselves in, this so-called pandemic or plandemic, whichever you want to call it, is all for a purpose, because God wants to expose. And we shouldn't be surprised when God starts to expose. We shouldn't be surprised, because God is hearing our prayers. He's answering our prayers. And yet somehow it seems to take us by surprise or by a shock that God is actually answering your prayers, our prayers, both individually and corporately. Because he's a God and Father who answers prayer. That is why he says, my house is a house of prayer. That is why he says, pray the prayer of faith and God will hear it. And yet it still takes us at times by surprise. Well, God brings things out into the light. But before he can bring those things out into the light, he has to have his church, his people, walking in that light. For he is the light of the world. And we're to walk in that light, and at times that light will cost us. Because when we walk in the light, we then know how to start praying. You cannot pray the prayers of faith, you cannot pray the will of God if you are not walking in the light, or you don't know what that light is. And to begin to experience what this light is, you begin to experience the cost that is involved. And we're going to look at some of these things today in light of what I said. But one saint said this: he that is not zealous against error is not likely to be zealous for truth. I'll give that again. He that is not zealous against error is not likely to be zealous for truth. And one of the things that is going to cost us is that we are zealous for truth. And this is very important to grasp. That is why we are blessed. That is why God has given us the deeper life, because the deeper life is a revelation of truth. It is God's word. If you want to know truth, hold the Bible in your hand. And you can confess, you can speak out, this is truth. When the enemy is battling, when the enemy is coming to try and deceive us, you can hold that Bible up and say, this is truth. This is God's word. If you know the truth, then the truth sets you free. I do that sometimes. I stood once on the word of God over a battle I was going through when the enemy was trying to work like he does. I stood on the word of God, literally. That is my belief. That is my confession. And sometimes God will make you desperate enough to do things like that when you're in those battles. So to walk in the light will at times cost. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 to 14. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 to 14. Now we all know this very well, but it's all in the context of where the apostle is speaking to the church at Ephesus, where we're to walk in love as Christ is love. We're to deal with all uncleanness, covetousness, things that we should not have as saints, to let God deal with our confession, not to be caught criticizing or jesting or filthy talk, all of these things that we know so well. And then he comes and brings into verse 8, where we're to then walk in the light, because this is where I'm getting this title from. To walk in the light will cost. And he says this: for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Do you know that that is what God is doing? Do you know that that is what God is doing at the moment? Why this plague is attacking the world? Do you know that God is using this for the house of God? To bring us out more into the light, as the world goes further and further into darkness? Do you know that this COVID is our deliverance? It's Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to them that love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. This is working together for good on your behalf, on the church, and on every Christian who loves the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, only God can do that. You see, God uses a thing in which to bring us out into the light. I spoke about recently, didn't I, that the church is a lampstand. It is a lighthouse. It has to shine. It has to speak out with the truth that it has. You cannot help but speak out with the truth that is setting us free. That is why he says here, we're to walk in light, in the light. Now, let's break this up, what he says here. For he says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. So we once walked in darkness. And we are all very aware of that. We are all very aware what we did and what we got up to. There are things that we are even ashamed to think about. But the love and grace of mercy has saved us and brought us out into the light so that we can see. And when God even exposes those darknesses in your life, look at the way he does it in his grace and love and mercy. And then it goes on. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness and truth, which it is. So the Spirit works with that light, everything that is good and not evil. So the exposures, the bringing out into the light is goodness. It is good. It is right. And it's always done in righteousness. Because you have been made right through Jesus Christ, through his righteousness being imputed to you, granted to you, in other words. So God does everything in righteousness because his Son is right. Therefore, that righteousness is imputed to you and I. So he does everything on that basis, bringing things out into the light. And truth. What is truth? I already just opened up with it. I said the word of God is truth. There is no defilement in God's word. The word of God that you hold is supernatural. It is miraculous. It is not of the world, this book that you hold. The very words that we read from it are eternal in nature. They are life to you. This is why the gospel that we hear and that is taught to us is wholeness in mind, body and spirit. So there it is. He says we walk in that light. For the light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Who is finding out? You and I. We have to stay with God's word. We have to read God's word. We have to be taught God's word. So that we find out what is acceptable to the Lord. You see, God doesn't do everything. Salvation is covenant. It is two people who come together and agree. God makes the move, then he expects you to make the move. And they are our steps of faith. trusting God. It takes faith to come to a meeting like this today. Because as we hear the word of God, God requires us to be not only be hearers, but doers of the word. There is our step of faith, meeting the Lord in the center, which is what covenant is about. In other words, you come together, you both agree. And then the power of God begins to work in that situation, because he's the only one that has the power. The power that works on you for your behalf has to be faith, to believe. So there it is, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. When we're not sure, we wait on God. There is the score of waiting. That is why we pray, we seek the Lord, we find out his guidance, his wisdom, his direction, what he's saying. We don't always know. And the reason we don't know, because things have to be brought out into the light. If something has not been brought out into the light, you don't move on it. You don't do anything. You simply wait on the Lord, and then he begins to shine by the Spirit of Truth, the Comforter who has come to teach and guide and lead us. And this is what the apostle is saying here. He's saying, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. In other words, if we love the Lord, we want to do it his way. We want to do what is received, what he loves, what is acceptable to him. That's how we give back to him, by our finding out what is the will of God. And we know, we find out what the will of God is, because we know it's Romans 12, 1 and 2. We present ourselves on that altar. We give ourselves back to him for that very purpose, that we understand what the will of the Lord is. And that's why I'm saying to walk in this light at times will cost. Because to find out the acceptable will of God sometimes is not always easy. Sometimes it requires a different thinking. Sometimes we have to let go of what we thought was God or was acceptable, that we have to find sometimes isn't acceptable. And the light has had to shine on that area. This is why I always say the deeper life is about deliverance. We are being changed. That is why one of my prayers that I pray so often, when we come together, we come under the anointing, the unction of the Spirit, that we go away different to when we came. In other words, delivered. We have received more light, so that it is acceptable to the Lord. Now, what does he say? He starts to then show what is acceptable to the Lord. He brings it up in verse 11, because this is the verse that I'm really using today. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. And sometimes to expose the unfruitful works of darkness, which is the enemy, sometimes it costs. Now, we need to understand what is being said here. Let's look at some of these words that the apostle is using here in verse 11. He says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Now, that word for fellowship there is not koinonia. Unlike our fellowship that we're having today, now, this moment. This is koinonia. This is fellowship. with Christ and each other in the love of God. What he is saying here is don't have fellowship with the world. In other words, to not be partakers, not to share in the unfruitful works of darkness. Now, we get an indication of that in Revelation 18 and verse 4. Revelation 18 and verse 4, where he says here, "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, unless you receive of her plagues." That, of course, is speaking of the fall of Babylon, which is going to happen in the last days as God starts to judge the Antichrist and wars against him. And Babylon, the systems are going to fall. And those who are calling on the Lord, those who are being saved, whose eyes are being opened, that they have been deceived, that will also include Israel as well. He says, come away from it. Do not be partakers of it. Now, of course, we are seeing all the signs of Babylon now. It's around us. That's why it's a mystery. And he says that we are not to be partakers of it. This is why he works separation with us even now as overcomers. And he goes on to say, going back to verse 11, not only to have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. What does it mean, this word unfruitful? It means that it is barren. It's not true fruit. It's not yielding fruit. In other words, what he's saying is what you see in the world is coming under judgment. It is going to be destroyed by the coming of the Lord. Therefore, it is unfruitful. It's barren. It's not yielding eternal fruit. What is the fruit that God is looking for? It's not the fruit of in the world. It is the fruit in your life and my life. Because he said, by the fruit you will know them. Our love, in other words. That is the fruit he's looking for. And he's saying, you cannot look for the fruit of the world, because it is corrupt. He says, don't have fellowship with it. The unfruitful works, what does he call them? Of darkness. And how at times we have been deceived and duped by the things of the world, or by what we hear. And it looks fruitful. It looks as though it's right, until the light of God comes on it and we realize the mercy of God delivered me. The mercy of God opened my eyes, because I was deceived at that point. I thought that was God. And that is what's going on with us, brothers and sisters. And that is what the Holy Spirit is doing as he's beginning to expose, as we're beginning to see through the great falling away now. We're beginning to see the signs of judgment starting. Because that is why God says judgment begins first in the house of God. And God has been judging, God has been shaking the house of God. He's been doing it to FGA because he loves us, in order that we have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Now, it means also the unfruitful works of darkness that we are to reprove them. And it means, when he says to expose, rather to expose them, it means that we are to be corrective. We are at times to admonish or chasten or even punish. That is the words that come out of where it says to expose them. Now let's turn to some scriptures to confirm all of this. For example, let's turn to the Gospel of John. John chapter 3. Chapter 3 and verse 20. Yes. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. So, wherever, if you like, continually coming further and further into the light. That is why we're being delivered. And many times we don't always have the light yet because we've not had light on it. But God is giving us light as our eyes and hearts are being opened more and more by the word of God. Let's turn to some more scriptures. For example, let's turn to Revelation. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 19. Revelation chapter 3 verse 19. And as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent. So that is what he's saying to the Laodicean church. And in many ways we've come out of that Laodicean spirit over the years. And as we're coming out of it, he says, be zealous, repent. He's opening our eyes so that we can see more and more. You see, we don't see everything straight away. That's the whole point. We're all in a walk. We're all in a process of being delivered. And much deliverance is about actually just seeing the truth. Because the truth then sets us free. Free for what? To be able to then have faith. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. That's why he's setting us free, in order to have a greater and stronger faith. For that very purpose. What does it speak in Titus? Wait a minute. What are we looking at? Right, second. Titus. Now I've got a scripture here. I can't find it. Praise the Lord. Sorry about that. I did have a scripture. I put it down wrong. But we're getting the point of what he's saying here. Going back to Ephesians, where he's saying quite clearly here, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. And that is what we're called to do. And that at times is the cost. It's going to cost us to expose. It's going to cost us when I have to speak out and I say, I don't agree with that. Or I can't go along with that. It's going to cost us with our family. It may even cost you at times in your marriage, with your son, your daughter, or whatever it is. There are times you cannot agree. You cannot go along with that. And how often do we find ourselves compromising in situations because we don't want a scene? Or we don't want to rock the boat. And we've all done it. And we all still do it. And this is where God has to work in and through us. If we are lovers of truth. Remember, I opened up with that saying of which this saint said, he that is not zealous against error is not likely to be zealous for truth. And that's why we have to be Bereans of the Word of God. We have to hold on to the truth. We cannot compromise with it. And at times we find ourselves doing this. And God has to do that work in us to deliver us in all of this. It's interesting how God is delivering us and reviving us. I'm reminded of the Valley of the Dry Bones, that wonderful image of how God brings life back to those bones, putting the sinew and the tissues and everything. Of course, it speaks of the restoration of Israel in the last day, but it's also speaking of the church. It's speaking about God again pouring out his spirit in the last days. How we're being restored, how we're being brought back, and we're being brought back by the Word of God. And we have to be separated in order for God to do this. But we know, as there is an old saying that goes, old habits die hard. And sometimes it takes a time to get this deliverance. It takes a time in which it drops from our heads to our hearts. But God is going to do it. Make no bones about it. If we want to stay with it, we want to stay with the Word of God, the Word of truth, it's going to cost. What does it say in James chapter 1, verse 21? 22, James chapter 1, 21, 22. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflowing of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. So, to be doers of the word, it means we have to start agreeing and believing the light that we receive. That is what the Holy Spirit's ministry is for that very purpose. We have to be set free in order to agree with God's word. Now, it doesn't mean to say that we're deliberately rebelling against it. Sometimes we just don't know, or we're not sure. And that's why we keep coming. That's why we keep coming. We keep coming under the anointing. It's because the Word of God sets us free. And when you are set free at that point, you are then in faith in that point. You're then believing. The reason that we don't always get healed straight away, or we don't get answers to our prayers, because God still has to open our eyes. We're still not seeing as we should be. And when I'm saying seeing, I'm talking spiritual seeing. When suddenly the Word of God is opened up to us, suddenly we see it in a different light. It's delivered us. That's what it is. But we're well aware that these old habits at times, they take a time to die. That's why we're all a work in progress, praise God. And that's why we pray for one another. We stand with one another. We believe the best for one another. Oh, it's easy to criticize. It's easy to be negative. Because it isn't your problem, what they're going through. You don't have a problem in that area. But they do. And if we love the Lord, we love the truth, we love Christ's body, we get in prayer for one another. Why? Because there go I by the grace of God. That's why. So we're called to be doers of the word and not just hearers only. And this is so important. And this is why, you see, we're getting so much at the moment. Because God wants us to be doers of the word. It's interesting, you know, when we started to get light with this vaccine that they were going to bring out. that they were working on that was brought out in just a matter of few months. It's interesting how at first we didn't have much light about it. A lot of us didn't really know anything about this vaccine. But look what has happened over the last year. Look at the light that has been shone upon this. Look now at how many doctors, professors who are beginning to speak out their grave concerns of the future of this vaccine. And not only that, but we have learnt the makeup of it. All of these things, we were duped. The powers of darkness tried to keep us in darkness over it. I'm using this as an example. And our prayers, our intercessions, and our warfare is and has exposed this. How do you think this happens otherwise? How do you think these professors and doctors who are getting free from the deception, who are now beginning to speak out on their own expert and knowledge that they have? That is a sign of our prayers and intercessions being answered. This is why we wait on God until we know how to pray. And of course, the enemy has been very, very active in trying to destroy our understanding of all of this. But this is what we're talking about. It's going back to verse 11. It says, have no fellowship with all of this stuff. This is the works of darkness, but rather expose them. And this is what we do. We expose these things. But you can only expose when you know the truth, because then the truth sets you free. And the enemy always tries to throw the spanner in the works to confuse. And what is confusion? Well, it's where that isn't the truth. They are speaking a lie. You see, to have truth, to understand truth, and to pay the cost for truth, it is a narrow way. Jesus said to make it into the kingdom of heaven, you go through the narrow way, the narrow gate, which is of trial and testing. The broad way is where most go through, because you don't have to work at it. You don't have to seek God for it. But you see, when you're a disciple of the Lord, you realize that there is a cost. There is a time. And you have to seek God, because God doesn't work through the broad way. And that is why God showed me when one or two people who were beginning to speak out with their great concerns over the lies that we were being given through main media, when they began to speak out and they had also lost their jobs as a result of speaking out, that gets my attention. Because I realise this has cost them to speak out. And they have. A lot have lost their jobs. Because let's face it, you don't want to lose your job. You need to pay your bills. You need to look after your family. You have a house to run. So it's just less complicated. It's easier just to say nothing and to go along with it. And brothers and sisters, we do it also. We do it in our environment, we do it with our family and whatever. It's just easier. But you see, I go back to this title, to walk in the light will cost. Because we're told here we are to expose the works of darkness. We are to expose the unfruitful works. And let's face it, they're all around us. And I'm using the vaccine as an example because we've all seen it. We've all seen, and now they are speaking out. Professors are speaking out of their great concern of what this is going to do to the immune system. Because our immune systems are one of the most amazing things that God creates in us. Did you know at conception, the first thing that is created at conception is the immune system, your immunity, and then the heart? Because it is so important. Our immunity is survival. And the enemy knows exactly where to attack through the powers of darkness. We do not know what is going to come of this in time. As the immune systems will be affected, diseases, we just don't know. We're in uncharted territory. But you know what? They'll try and disguise it. They'll try and cover it over. But one thing you will not be able to do, you will not be able to sue these pharmaceutical companies. They're all protected. So if any cases go to court, guess who's going to pay for it? You guessed it, the taxpayer. Why, these pharmaceuticals are rubbing their hands to the bank, making millions and billions. We live in a very wicked world now. But God says he's going to expose all these unfruitful works of darkness. And our prayers and intercessions are doing it. So don't give up. I know at times you just feel, gosh, I'm exhausted. I can't continue praying on this. Stay with it, because God is exposing all of this. Trust me. And that's why we wait on God. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 5. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the hearts. Then each one's praise will come from God. So there we are. He's the one who's finally going to come, and he will expose everything. But until then, it is given to the church to pray, to intercede, and to expose those things that the Holy Spirit highlights and he shows. You see, what is not of God is going to be burnt up. What is it saying? 1 Corinthians 3, verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 13. Each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. And that's why God judges by fire. And God is going to judge this that's going on by fire. Because there is a lot of wickedness that is becoming so obvious, so blatant, so open, that has and will be judged. What does Isaiah say? Isaiah 26 and verse 14. Isaiah 26 and verse 14. They are dead, they will not live. They are deceased, they will not rise. Therefore you have punished and destroyed them and made all their memory to perish. That is what's going to happen. all the powers of darkness, all the evil that is worked, that works behind all of this, it says they will not live anymore. They will not rise. In other words, they will not rise to heaven, but will go down into the pit. And he says he destroys them. This is why, brothers and sisters, it's so important that we understand what God is doing through us. Why he's doing this. Why it's so important that we are separated unto him for this very purpose. The church is a light, it's a lampstand. It's to give a signal. We are to warn. And it's very, very important that we grasp this. And that's why we walk in the light. And if we walk in the light, it's going to cause that separation. If we walk in the light, we find that God's grace is sufficient. Whatever you find, whatever they're saying about you or whatever it will be, and they will, they're going to gossip about us, they're going to lie about us. I get it enough, but what does God say? If you walk in the light, God's grace is sufficient. And boy, it is. And if you walk in the light, it brings you that freedom and that peace and that closeness with the Lord, which our hearts cry out for. Our hearts cry out every day, Lord, I want to be even closer with you this day. And he does it with the light that shines upon us. Let's look at some more scriptures to really get this into our hearts. What does it say in Psalm 65? Psalm 65 and verse 4. Blessed is the man who chooses and calls to approach you, that he may dwell in your courts. We shall be steadfast with the goodness of your house, of your holy temple. So there we are. That is what it's going to be. You're going to be satisfied. You're going to be satisfied with his goodness. You're going to be in his holy temple. In other words, you walk, you dwell with him. You're going to be satisfied, lacking for nothing. That's what he's saying. What does it say in Psalm 145? Psalm 145 and verse 18. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. There you are. So he always looks for truth. And how do you know the truth? By the light that he gives you. And there you are. And it says, if you know that truth, then that truth sets you free. So it's just wonderful. You can't go wrong with this, brothers and sisters. And he says, he's near to those who love the truth, who call upon him in truth. He's near. In other words, you're going to know his presence wherever you walk, wherever you go. That is how Jesus walked with his Father. That is why the Spirit did those things through him, because he was near to him. And he's restoring us back now so that we walk with him. He's near us and we're near him. That's what this is all about. What does it say in Hebrews 4 and verse 8? Hebrews 4 and verse 8. For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterwards have spoken of another day. There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered into his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. In other words, you're not trying this anymore. You're not trying to walk in the light. You're not trying to overcome or whatever it is. Your faith has given you that rest in his presence, to enjoy his presence, to enjoy the walk, to enjoy God, to be blessed by him, and not that it's always striving all the time. Those that strive, who try to be good, they're religious. And that's why God is against religion, because that's what religion does. You don't have to do that as overcomers. He's done it for you. Just maintain that light. Seek his will. Seek more of what he wants you to know as you walk in that light. This is how it works, brothers and sisters. But as I close with this, to walk in that light will cost. And we're going to have to at times, we're going to have to expose. We're going to have to divide. We're going to have to come against the powers of darkness that are causing darkness. And that's why I want to encourage you, don't give up in this. Don't give up in your prayers or intercessions over what we're going through at the moment. Continue to pray as the Holy Spirit leads and guides, that the truth will come out in all of this. Because we know we're facing a reset now. We know things are changing rapidly. Everything is being set ready now for the Antichrist to come. We know it. But all the while we're still in this world, we haven't been taken out yet. We can pray, we can intercede that it will be exposed. Why do we do this? Because there's still a remnant to be reaped. There's still a harvest out there that is ripe. There's still a harvest to be brought in. And a harvest can only be brought in when it's exposed, when darkness is exposed. And so our prayers bringing everything out into the light also brings God's remnant into the light, so they see that light. You saw that light because someone or a group or a church prayed for you, prayed for me. We cannot limit the power of prayer and how God works. No, we don't always see it. We may not even see it in this life, but we'll see it in eternity. That's the whole point. And even our warfare against all that's going on, the deception, the lie behind this vaccine. We're lying against, we're warring against the lies behind this, to expose this, to bring this out into the light. For what purpose? For a remnant to be saved. That's why. That is the ultimate goal. Everything God does is redemptive. It is not in the Father's heart that any should perish. He wants all to come to eternal life. And that is why he guides our prayers by the Holy Spirit, our warfare against the powers of darkness, because at the end of it all, a soul will be saved. That is the purpose. Because the God of this world, it says, he blinds the eyes. And so our prayers expose what he's doing and brings it out into the light. Because we are children of the light and we walk in that light. And if we walk in that light, then our job is to expose, to bring it out in whatever way God will do it. But before he can do that, he has to deliver us first. We have to see clearly. And the way we see is by the word that we read and the word that is taught to us, because that brings us out into his light so that we can get delivered. And a lot of our deliverance is just a different mindset. Gosh, I hadn't thought of it that way. Praise God, He's opened my eyes today. I see that differently to how I've been looking before. Well, what you're saying there is, God's delivered you. He's healed you. And that's what it's about. And if we love the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind and being, then we love His word and we're going to allow the word to deliver us. Father in heaven, we thank you today. Thank you again. You have spoken into our hearts. You're showing us what you're doing. Father, you don't leave us in darkness, in confusion. Lord, you're bringing us out into your glorious, wonderful light. That light that sets us free, that we can see. But that, Lord, also we realize that what we are seeing and what we will see, there is also a cost that is attached to it. And therefore, Father, help us not to compromise. Help us not to open the door to fear or consequences. But Lord, give us that boldness to be able to declare, to speak out in love and in truth. And it doesn't matter, Lord, the cost. All that matters is that we do the will of God. And so, Lord, I thank you for our fellowship. Thank you for my brothers and sisters. Bless, preserve, and keep them always. Keep them in the light of your word. For this we ask in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen.
So disaster, let him in constancy follow the master.
All lies down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus.